Welcome to another Financial Crime Podcast, brought to you by Jade Third Eye, a Skipton Group company specialising in AML transaction monitoring and sanctions screening. My name is Adrian Isaac. I'm a client manager for Jade Third Eye. Thank you for listening, and I hope you're sitting comfortably, as today I'm joined by Simon Miller from Stop Scams UK. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Adrian. Good to be here.
Thanks for joining us. How are you?
My pleasure. Very well, thank you. Looking forward to this conversation.
Yes, as I am too. Should we start with you telling the listener a bit about who and what Stop Scams UK is and what you do?
Very happy to do that. So Stop Scams UK is an industry-led collaboration of responsible businesses from across the banking, telecoms and technology sectors who have come together to help stop scams at source, either by protecting the customer, by giving them the tools that they need to keep themselves safe, or by preventing scams from happening in the first place, primarily through sharing of data between key institutions. And lastly, what we seek to do is we seek to influence the policy environment to make it easier for companies like Skipton, and indeed companies of all your listeners, to do the right thing.
Can you tell us a bit more about how you are lobbying government?
So we like to see it as influencing and engaging with government and with other policymakers to make it easier for firms to be able to share data and to make the whole landscape around taking action to prevent fraud that much easier. But what we want to do is root it very much in the experience of our members and the work they do around our table. So we take the learning that happens in the technical collaborations that happen at Stop Scams UK. We look to see where the blockers are and whether the blockers to progress are policy made. And then we make recommendations to government on what needs to change. And broadly, up to this point, what we've done is come up with five key ideas for change. So the first is greater leadership in government, and we're really pleased that government's introduced a new anti-fraud champion to really drive change and bring some leadership. The second is better coordination of the anti-fraud and anti-scams landscape through the creation of a single scams authority. The third is changes to privacy law to make it easier to be able to share data. The fourth is much better data collection, so we have a clearer understanding of actually what happens in the fraud and scams landscape. And the fifth is international coordination, because so many of the parties involved in the anti-fraud and anti-scams world are either global players or are dealing with situations that happen outside of the UK. So we really need global coordination to make that difference.
Can you tell me a bit more then about how you're approaching facilitating the collaboration across, you know, the various organizations, financial organizations, you know, and what are the challenges, you know, such as data sharing, GDPR, competition clauses, that sort of thing?
Yeah, really happy to do that, Adrian. So the whole idea behind Stop Scams is that you need these three key sectors to work together to stop scams at source, because we know that for a fraud or scams to be successful, it's going to touch on at least two, if not each, of the banking, telecoms and technology sectors. And we know that people want to collaborate, but it's difficult, partly because people have day jobs and collaboration means reaching out to people in different organisations. GDPR gets in the way as well, as does competition law, as do just different commercial incentives and priorities. So we were set up to provide some leadership, some trusted space to enable the right people to get together, to have the right conversations, to start identifying solutions and working towards them. So what we do each month is we host what we call a technical collaboration, where subject matter experts come together to identify solutions to the scams issue and then start working towards them. So we're facilitating those discussions, we're bringing some leadership, we're bringing new ideas to the table, and then we're providing some resource to enable those ideas to come to fruition.
It's absolutely amazing that you guys are leading the charge on this. It really does need a organization to try and pull all of these companies together, because I think there is the will, but I guess it needs somebody who can actually focus everyone's attentions. I mean, in terms of the big tech companies, the big tech communication companies, let's say Google, Meta, BT, how are they engaging with Stop Scams?
So they're all members and they're always at our table and very much engaged in the conversation. I think that one of the key things that we need to remember is that scams and fraud hit different companies differently. They have a very different experience of them. So what we seek to do through data exchange and sharing of information is to enable companies and organisations to enhance the systems, tools and utilities that they already have through the use of information, it might be intelligence or insight, held by other organisations or sectors. So we're doing a lot of work with BT on a number of projects. One is around scam intelligence, so scam baiting, engaging directly with the scammers. And BT and other telecommunications companies have provided SIM cards and phone numbers to enable us to do that. And we work very closely with Meta, enabling them to better identify scams that start to emerge on some of their platforms by taking the reported incidents of scams into the banks made by people like you and me who may experience a scam or be scammed, and then transferring that, obviously with consent, to Meta so they can understand what happened on their platform and then take action against it.
Yeah, that's great to hear Meta engaging, because there was obviously the report recently that highlighted the fact that because of their, you know, various platforms that they own, majority of online scams and frauds seems to be starting on one of their platforms. So it's really good to hear they're working with you. You mentioned scam. Go on, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, so my background was in telecoms. And there was a time in which telecom companies were very much in the firing line. And this is the thing about scams and fraud and commercialization and digitization. It's very easy for the scammers to jump from platform to platform, service to service, and abuse those services and misuse them. But what we all know, and I think what the experience of Stop Scams has taught us, is that it's not something that any single company can solve alone. And we can only do it with the insight and the resources and the intelligence of a much wider pool of organizations and sectors.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned a bit earlier about scam baiting. Can you explain to our listener what scam baiting entails and how it can be used to stop scams?
Absolutely. So when we talk about scam baiting or scam intelligence, we're talking about a less sexy version of what your listeners would have seen on Scam Interceptors on the BBC. This is engaging directly with the scammers to find out as much about their tactics and the modus operandi as possible. So the starting point is scam data that's reported into 7726, both hi mum, hi dad, WhatsApp messages. It's taking those messages and responding to them and engaging the scammer in a conversation and trying to find out as much as we can about the tactics they use. So are they going to try and move us from one platform to another? But harvesting those telephone numbers, those service details, and then ultimately getting to a point where we're asked to transfer money, at which point the ambition is to collect data around that bank account. So that's what we're doing. And then that data gets shared with the relevant banks and other agencies. So those accounts can be closed down or they can be monitored, and we get an understanding of, have they been customers of a bank for a long time? Have they been engaging this type of activity for a short duration or a long duration, or was this the first off? And it's leading to the closure of accounts, a really good understanding of muni accounts, and interception of people who may be about to engage in muni activity. So loads of benefit there.
So you mentioned 7726. What other initiatives are already underway to help scams, stop scams, should I say, such as the 159 initiative?
Well, so you mentioned 7726, which is the spam reporting line operated by the mobile phone networks. We launched 159, which is a very, very different service, almost 2 years ago now. And what 159 is, it's a route back to safety for any consumer who receives an unexpected phone call about a financial matter. And the idea is that it will connect you as a consumer safely and securely with your bank in a way that can't be spoofed. As a short code phone number, it is safe and cannot be spoofed. It can never call you. So it takes the risk out of a consumer engaging in a conversation with anyone about a financial matter by giving them that route back to safety. And where they may be about to be scammed, we're in that hot state where they're coming under a load of pressure to give up their details. It's a really simple thing to remember to do, to stop, to hang up, and to contact your bank safely and securely through 159. So it's not doing something that's revolutionary. It's not doing something that you can't do by looking at the back of your bank card and dialing that long number there. But it's a really easy step. It's a call to action. And it's a reflex response for the consumer when they're under that pressure or when they suspect that there might be something untoward, because no bank's actually going to mind if you hang up and call them back through 159.
Absolutely. And I've actually seen that in action. My my own bank, it's an online bank, mentioned 159 as I was trying to make an online payment after asking me several questions. So I definitely smiled when I saw that. So that's fantastic. Any other initiatives underway that you guys are driving?
So I've spoken a bit about the work that we're doing in the policy space, our engagement with government there to make things easier. We engage a lot with civil society groups, and we engage a lot with think tanks to explore what else it may be possible to do in that space. There is 159, and we've got really exciting plans for its future development, new IVR going in to make it much easier to use and to enable much more data to be captured from it and then given to relevant parties so they can better act on scams. We have our Alliance project, which is all around an additional layer of protection for malicious URLs. So the identification of URLs that are impersonating legitimate banks, passing that to our telecoms providers, and then having those taken down in as little as 15 minutes. It's an additional layer of protection that many of our banking members find really useful. And then we have a whole series of smaller data sharing projects, so some of which are linked to the scam intelligence, scam data work that I just talked about. Others of which are around bad actors, are around identification of bad actors for using voice biometrics and better enabling banks to identify when someone is calling a bank to take over an account as opposed to trying to make a legitimate transaction. So a whole range of small and exciting projects that we're looking at scaling up and growing over the course of the next 12 months.
You're very, very busy. Can you tell me how Stop Scams can help organisations to get ahead of regulation?
Yeah, so what we look to do is to give firms the opportunity to work together to find solutions that, if they weren't to find, may lead to a regulatory response. So it's all about incentivising the private sector to do as much as it can to protect consumers and to keep businesses safe without the need for regulation.
And finally, Simon, how do firms get involved with 159 and Stop Scams UK?
Well, we're a membership organisation, and as all membership organisations, that comes with a fee, but it's simply a matter of paying that fee and then joining Stop Scams UK. And we work in multiple different ways. So we work on those technical projects for our technical collaboration series. We organise events, we organise conferences, and we organise regular forums for our members that we invite external speakers to, policy experts, government officials, government ministers and regulators, to come and talk about what's happening, to share insight, to share threat intelligence, and to enable everyone to get a better understanding of what's happening in the fraud and scams landscape.
That's brilliant, Simon. Thank you for your time today. And I'm sure our listeners have found that very insightful discussion.
Great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. If you would like to find out more about how Jade Third Eye's cloud-based transaction monitoring, watchlist screening and case management system can assist your organisation with fighting fraud, please visit jadethirdeye.com.